Steve Ashburner, senior writer for the NBA.com, joining us now on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Steve, how you been, buddy?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Well, we're getting by. I mean, I think more and more, I was telling people, there was only a couple of years ago, there was a definite pulse in this state as to whether or not they did or did not want that new arena and did or did not want the Bucks to stay around. I said, this is what it's like if you didn't have the Bucks staying around. There's not much to do, not much to talk about. But I know that Major League Baseball and the Players Association over the weekend came to an agreement that if indeed they can begin playing safely without fans, they're going to do so. How far away do you think the NBA is to making a similar decision?
Well, in terms of the timing, I think they're very far away. I think the great unknown in terms of when it'll be okay to gather, even in the numbers that would be needed to stage games without fans in the stands, I just think we don't have a clear idea of when that green light is going to turn on. In terms of that as an option, among the many scenarios that they're probably running through at this point, I think that that's sort of uppermost in the NBA's thinking. And remember, they were going to do that for a game out on the West Coast, a Golden State game, before they decided to postpone the season. And they were going to have the Warriors in that beautiful new building of theirs play with no fans in the stands. So that was sort of their first option. So I could see them considering that as a way to phase back in.
Now, I know we're still a ways away from anything like that happening, but the rumor last week was saying mid-June is what a target area is. Are you still hearing the same thing?
Haven't heard anything new since the guidelines were extended yesterday in the president's briefing. All I'm working off of is estimates that it could take anywhere from 2 months to 2.5 months to ramp up a return. By the time you get arena dates set and a format settled upon, and then players brought back and somehow given some sort of a ramp, however short, to getting in shape again, and so that when they do play games, not only do they offer a legitimate product that you'd want to watch on television at least, if you can't quite get in the buildings yet, and also not have players immediately blow out, their bodies from, the sudden return to NBA level play. So, they do estimate 2 months. I've seen those. I think so. You'd be talking. I don't know. They'd have to get a sense of return to semi-normalcy before most of us are even allowed to congregate in groups more than 10. So, mid-June would seem to be a little optimistic at this point because, the lead time required. Now they can fast track a little bit, but I think that they'd be asking for trouble, and they would then suffer consequences that could undermine next season. And so I think that's got to be number one at this stage. Is you don't want to do anything that's going to harm the 2020-21 season, and then you work backwards towards what you can salvage from this time around.
Do you see them going right into the postseason, or is there going to be an abbreviated schedule, or is this just so fluid, just nobody knows?
Well, nobody does know, and if anybody at the New York headquarters knows, they're not telling. My thought is just based on having covered two previous lockouts where we went from, months of uncertainty to all of a sudden, hey, the NBA's back. How are they going to get up and running, when they should have been playing already? And what they did then is I believe both times they had two tune-up games. They had about a week of training camp, two tune-up games, and then boom, it was off to the regular season. In this case, I could see something similar where they do that, almost like casual, how the NFL will do it during their training camps. They'll have two teams that sort of scrimmage. Maybe that's something that is televised. Maybe that's something that if it's okay by then that the public is allowed into. But I think they're going to need something. You can't have your first game back have playoff implications in a playoff series, not just qualifying, but for you're going to be down 0-1 before you know it. And so I think they do need something like that, but I think it has to be extremely brief. If I had to bet, I would bet on the regular season being gone at this point. I can't see how they could come back and finish out where they left off. What I'd been thinking initially, and I guess I hadn't thought it through, was, okay, fine, just start with the playoffs, you know, and you've got your national television coverage and you've got the teams that people care most about. But I think that this is such a weird national situation that some of these suggestions about a second tournament with the lottery teams in it, I think it kind of has appeal and makes sense. David Aldridge in The Athletic writes most recently about it, but it had been floated, I think, first by the NHL as a way to include all the teams, all the markets, and create something where those teams then are sort of playing down for draft order. And to me, just the idea of bringing everybody back so that everybody's arenas get the lights turned on and the fans, you know, are sort of invited back, that makes sense. If you just go to the playoffs with 16 teams, you have nearly half your league where the markets are just, I'll see you next year. That was it. You didn't know it was over, but it's over. And I just think that that would be a way to maybe stimulate a little bit of interest in a different way, and also just, you know, sort of check in everywhere in the league and say, okay, we're back, we're okay.
Talking with Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com, and also find him on Twitter at Ash, A-S-C-H-N-B-A, over on Twitter. All this talk I was watching over the weekend. Now, everybody's trying to find something to talk about in the world of sports when this is what you have to do for a living, but all the different discussions regarding MVP and LeBron and Giannis, and, you know, in this abbreviated season, does this help or hurt? Because Giannis was not playing great when the season shut down and LeBron was, but Giannis had a tremendous season. Does the voting still fall in Giannis's favor at this point, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it does, and I think it would have probably done that if everybody had completed 82 games. I would have found it very difficult to take whatever portion was left, about maybe 20% of the season, and say, well, LeBron won that portion, therefore he wins the MVP. I think a lot of voters, a lot of people in general are often guilty of or victims of recency bias, where you remember most, you know, what just happened, and you forget what Giannis was doing in November and December and January and February. You know, it's just, so I understand why some people felt, I have to maybe vote, you know, flip those two guys in the voting. I think ESPN got kind of shameless about it. I think that they were banging the drum on behalf of LeBron's candidacy over Giannis, just because I think that they have greater business interests and greater business success when, you know, the glamour markets get the attention. And I'm not trying to fuel any paranoia in Milwaukee. I mean, I've lived and worked in pretty much, in the Midwest my entire career, and you know, in the so-called flyover places like Milwaukee and Minnesota. But I do think that ESPN, is sort of in LeBron's corner. So that started to get rather unseemly to me, the amount of debate. And, you know, and some of it is filling empty time, but this was going on before the season was postponed. And right. It just seemed like, why are they so determined for LeBron to win? I don't think it's close. I think the top two candidates are Giannis and LeBron, and then the gap is a big one down to number three. But I think the gap between one and two is equally as big.
Yep, no, I completely agree. And by the way, many people feel the exact same way you do, that ESPN banged the drum for LeBron and has for a very, very, very long time. And the coverage overwhelmingly outweighs whatever LeBron does versus what anybody else in the league does, for that matter. Speaking of LeBron, though, he did say he did not want to play unless there were fans there, and he talked again. And now he walked it back after, I think, the commissioner got in his ear.
Right.
But he did talk again recently about saying that, we want the energy. We play for the fans. We play for, you know, going on that run. And without the fans, I don't think we can do that. Is that just excuse making? Or, I mean, you're getting paid a lot of money to go out and play a damn game, dude. To say that the only reason you go out there, I mean, he could be kowtowing to the fans a little bit, but if the NBA says they want to play, you know, really, you're going to complain about it because you're getting paid this amount of money to go out there and be the best?
You know, I mean, who's to say what was, you know, immediately in his mind when he said that at first? I mean, it could have been simply a, you know, a nod to the fans in terms of how, you know, hey, you guys, you know, you're important too, and we don't want, you know, to go about our business without including you. It could have been an inclusive type of remark on his part. I don't think it was looking to dodge work or anything like that. I think the NBA employs enough people that they could have before every game in an empty arena, they could have a guy go to both locker rooms, show them the typical TV audience and the numbers of viewers, in other words, fans that are tuned in to NBA games, and they would realize that the 20,000 in each arena is dwarfed by, you know, the hundreds of thousands or millions that would be watching at home. So if they need more than that for a sense of in, you know, importance or priority, you know, I don't think they would. Back when they would let us into cover practices and a team would go into a scrimmage over the last 20 minutes or so of a practice, and I could see how heated those things got. And there was nobody in the gym. There was nobody watching on television. And players are competitive, and they want to win for the most part. And if, you know, I don't think that would be a huge problem. It would be weird, and it would be odd. I mean, what would game operations people do? Would they play, you know, sort of the rousing music clips
right. That
people, you know, applaud or chant to or sing, or and the whole, you know, the noise-o-meters that they put on the scoreboard? Well, there's no one there. So, you know, things would change, but there's an Orlando Summer League. It shut down about three years ago, maybe. But the teams that would go there, they play in a gym without any spectators. It's just basketball people, scouts, other team, you know, personnel that want to come by. And those things would get pretty heated because those players are all trying to impress. They're either, you know, they're rookies. At best, they're lottery picks that, you know, they still want to show why they were lottery picks. And then you have a lot of undrafted and unsigned players that want to make an impression. I don't think that the quality of play would suffer at all in an empty arena.
Yeah, I don't seem to think so either. I think once the blood gets going and the spirits start flowing, it'll be all out basketball. Steve, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes and brightening our day a little bit with sports, okay?
Well, yeah, hopefully one of these times soon we'll have some new fodder
to
discuss sports-wise. Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Steve Ashburner from NBA.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE to go to SchneiderJobs.com.